And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
It's the podcast.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you got to do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! St. Patrick's Day weekend as we are getting ready for that. Yeah, that we had to pull that classic gold out. Again, it was from, what was it, Mobile, Alabama. They're doing a newscast, and they see a leprechaun in a tree, and they're just shocked. So they go to the people, and they're like, "What? Do you really see a leprechaun?"
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you got to do is look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say, yeah! Yeah!
To me,
looks like a leprechaun to me.
That's the best.
By the way, for those watching on Facebook right now, Facebook Live, as we're doing the podcast, we have Tanuki front and center for the moment. For those of you who are listening to the podcast and can't see it, we invite you to go to our social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, and check out Tanuki. We'll tell you all about him after I tell you all about our sponsor. Perfectly just in time for St. Patrick's Day, because of the clover in their logo, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Look at Tanuki next to the
F-16. Yeah, it's nice.
I can't believe I got to think of the F-14. Mom watched a thing on the F-105, the Thud jet that they flew in Vietnam. And you're thinking, that sounds kind of boring. No, that thing, that documentary, it's on Prime, Amazon Prime Video. It is phenomenal. So good. It talks with these pilots about, you know, flying this airplane, and then all the stories that go into it about getting shot down and then, you know, becoming a prisoner of war and then trying to survive. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Well, it sounds very similar to the SR-71 talks. At, like, Big D and I are both pilots. For those of you who don't know, we are. And whenever we go to Oshkosh for the big fly-in every year and everybody gets together, they do these breakouts where these SR-71 guys will sit there and just tell stories about the missions they would fly ever since the late 50s, early 60s with the U-2 guys and all the way through the 90s and early 2000s and the crazy stuff. It's just, those stories are amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And you know they're holding back because there's a lot of stuff they can't tell us.
Yeah, stuff that's still classified. But yeah, those guys, man, you talk about coolest of the cool.
Yeah.
Those guys are legit. Yeah.
We got to hang out. Remember, there's a friend of ours who is married. Cheryl is married to an ex-SR-71 pilot. Remember when we hung out with him that day? We did all the F-22 stuff?
Yeah.
And just to hear him just kind of sit there and talk about how in awe he was about the pilots that we have nowadays. And you think, well, you know, back then that was the heyday of the dogfight era and all that. And he's like, oh man, the guys now, the training is so much better. It's like, I guess it's like the way athletes are, you know, like athletes, you can always say, oh, the greats, like the Hank Aarons and the Babe Ruths and all that. They weren't,
not
they were
close.
Great for their time, but they're nowhere near.
But why? Okay,
I don't, would those guys make the pros now? I don't know if they would.
I think
Babe Ruth,
okay,
there's
so
no way
said,
Babe Ruth gets to the pros, the major leagues right now. Patrick's running in. He's like, what? You can't say that.
Babe Ruth would make it. He would make it. Yeah, of course. You're looking at a guy who.
You're looking at a guy who 70, 80 years ago was the top athlete of his time. But, I mean, it's changed so much.
100% Babe Ruth would make it to the major leagues today.
But would he have the success that he has? Probably not. No. If you take Babe Ruth as he was and literally could transport him through time to face today's pitchers, nah, it's not the same.
It's not the same, but he also would have been raised differently. He would have dieted differently. He would have trained differently. He would have different equipment.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You can't do that. You have to take him straight out of the time.
You take him straight out of the 1927.
You're not making a fair comparison.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Life isn't fair.
And I still tell you, Babe Ruth could still hit the ball. Babe Ruth didn't just hit with power. He had a lifetime, what, three?
I understand that.
I mean, he was a great hitter.
But you take Babe Ruth and you put him side by side with anybody nowadays, your major power hitters. I don't know if he's...
Telling you, Babe Ruth was a freak of nature, man.
He was in his time.
He was so far ahead of his time, he would be an above-average hitter today in the major leagues.
You put Aaron Judge... Or A-Rod,
of course.
Back in 1927, he hits 90 home runs in a season. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe. There's things Babe Ruth because has to deal with guys don't have to deal with. You know?
Like drinking?
Yeah.
Like where I get my next cigar?
Yeah. And, you know, we have this misconception of Babe Ruth as being a big fat guy. He was not.
He was not as fat as we think he is.
He had big fat cheeks. So you see that picture of him and you go, well, yeah, he was a fat guy. No, he was not as fat as we think of him as.
No.
He was really good
I watched a really cool documentary. Right, his daughter passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Or was his grand
daughter.
His daughter.
Yeah, his daughter was like 110 or something.
Four, I think, yeah. But I watched this documentary on him and he was he didn't take care of himself, but he just was naturally just strong, and had a great swing and good eyes, and he could see a ball. But you know, how fast were those guys throwing back then?
I don't know.
Some of them threw really hard. The Satchel Pages and those guys threw really.
Babe Ruth didn't play against Satchel Paige.
I know, but I'm saying
that's the other thing is, you know, Babe Ruth never had to play against anyone. With,
elite
you know,
pitchers like that?
Dark skin, let's just put it that way.
There was, the players who were...
Here's the other part of that, though. The other side of that is there were 16 teams, and they had the best... They were the best guys.
Yeah,
there are twice as many players now.
Right,
and
there's
there
twice
others,
as... But there's the pool that we choose from is way bigger, too.
You're also competing with football, basketball, hockey... Other sports that people care about more than baseball. The best athletes in the world in 1927 played in the United States. The best athletes in the United States played baseball. Okay, because that was where you made your mother. Professional football didn't exist until Red Grange joined the Chicago Bears in the late 30s.
They weren't paid a lot.
No, no one cared about football until... The the late 40s, early 50s, and not really until the 60s.
Those baseball players had other jobs. After the season ended, they went and worked.
Some of the baseball players. No, Major League Baseball players made good money in the 20s.
No, they did.
Compared to the average person.
I have watched every episode of Ken Burns Baseball 12 times. I'm telling you that guys in the minors didn't have jobs. I'm telling you the major leaguers made good money starting in the 20s. It started with Ruth.
By the way, I'm looking at the 100-yard times back in the day. There's a guy, Walter Butler, was the first guy to run the race in the 10-second area. And now we're right at about 9 seconds. So there's a full second.
He was running 100 yards.
Compared to 100 meters.
Compared to 100 meters.
Right, but I'm looking at guys like Asafa Powell, who in 2010 ran 100 yards in basically 9 seconds flat.
Here's the thing, though. That guy, what was the other guy's name?
Walter Butler.
If he was born in 1990, he would have ran it. He could have ran that thing in 9 seconds. Because he
Training's
better.
Right,
the
but
clothes
I'm saying,
he was okay. wearing cost him a half a second. I'm telling you, the clothes he was wearing weighed more and were less aerodynamic than what Asafa Powell and Usain Bolt are wearing now. It's just like with the swimmers. You say, well, the swimmers have really shaved a lot of time. Yeah, look at the equipment. They shaved. They didn't used to do that. Mark Spitz's mustache alone cost him 2/10 of a second in the Olympics compared to current guys. Y'all see that thing? Mark Spitz used to have PI mustache.
He had a great firefighter
There's
mustache.
There's literally no swimmer in the world with any facial hair now because you might lose 1/10 of a second.
That's all it takes. Changing subjects, the list came out of the greatest movies of all time this week. They always do this every
AFI
year.
Or was it
it was IMDb's list. And some of these are I went through them and I've heard of them, but I don't know that I've ever seen. Just you guys tell me yes or no if you've seen the movies that are on this list. Okay. Vertigo.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
it's okay. Yeah,
and where's that? Where's that on the list? Is it like a top 10 or?
You know, I'm looking at it different. I don't know what the number is. Alien.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Nope.
Neither. You guys have never seen Alien? Alien was fantastic.
Wow. Maltese Falcon.
Nope.
No.
Bogart. Okay.
I know what it is.
Toy Story.
Nope. Yeah. You've never seen Toy Story?
No. I'm an adult with no children.
What kind of crazy person are you?
An adult with no children.
It wasn't for kids. It's for adults.
The Disney World ride is great, though, I will say that.
Right. Okay. And so is the show.
All right.
Watch the movie.
Patrick had a phone call. Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nope.
That's crazy.
No.
like we're just sitting here stunned. Saving Private Ryan was
fantastic. So good. I think every high school senior should see it before they can graduate.
Yes. Black Hawk Down?
Yes. No.
Oh, my gosh. Blade Runner?
No.
Wow. Okay. Blade Runner, by the way, was really good when they had the voiceover.
It.
But they took the voiceover out. You can't watch it with the voiceover anymore, and it sucks.
Okay. Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Yeah. You did? You saw that?
Yeah, my dad's a huge fan, so I took him every year at Christmas.
Oh, good. So you've seen all of them.
Yep.
Lawrence of Arabia.
No.
Nope.
E.T.
Yep.
I saw E.T.
Did y'all see 12 Angry Men?
Nope.
No.
That's a good one. Forrest Gump.
Yes, yep. Of course.
Jaws.
Yeah.
Yep.
Need a bigger boat.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I saw most of it. When you're in a hotel and you're flipping channels and you stop on it and you watch for a little while and you go,
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight was great. Mm-hmm.
2001 Space Odyssey.
Nope.
Most of it.
Yeah.
You've seen the whole thing?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw both of them. There's a sequel. Wow. Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful Life?
Yep.
Yeah.
Dr. Strangelove?
No.
No.
Oh, it's good. Here's the deal. If you're going to watch Dr. Strangelove, you need to go and read the little cliff notes or the how they break it down, because it is a movie where everything means something.
Mm.
So like...
They already lost me.
It's like
at
the imagery and
if you're into history, well, the characters are representative of current, well, at the time, well, historical people. So anyway, Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shawshank. Yeah, you saw.
Yeah,
that.
Shawshank is still one of the greatest movies ever.
Ever. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nope.
No. Wow. Have you seen any of them?
No.
So
no.
You don't know about whenever
I used to watch the TV
Nazis...
show, Young Indiana Jones. That's as close
as I got.
You
never saw when the Nazis dude's face melted?
I've seen that clip.
Right, which
and
is horrible.
And the stage show at Disney World was great.
The effects in Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of suck.
Well, back in the day they were.
Back in the day they were good. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Schindler's List?
Yep.
No.
You didn't see Schindler's List?
No.
It's a good
one. They made us watch it in school.
Well, I know it's supposed to be really good. I just have never seen it.
Casablanca.
Yes. No.
Oh, God. Casablanca's good.
It
man.
Is good.
Well, all right. All the Star Wars.
Yep.
All.
Singing in the Rain.
Yes.
I've seen that. Singing in the Rain's fantastic.
That is really one of the best movies ever.
I have it on Blu-ray. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Incredible.
Psycho?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both of them.
I saw that in high school. I didn't like it.
Apocalypse Now?
I saw the remake
too,
and it sucked.
No. Nope.
Apocalypse Now is great.
No, they chop a bull in half. There's no way I'm watching
this.
This
is the end, man. Okay.
Some of North by Northwest?
Yep.
Yep. Cary Grant with the old Stearman behind him.
Yeah, is that a Stearman?
Yeah.
Or a Waco?
Yeah, that's a Stearman.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember that.
Yeah, a lot of these movies,
You didn't name what's always the best one.
What?
Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Which really...
I've never seen Citizen Kane.
I did one night, and I go, I get it, because it is that...
Still good.
It is that fantastic.
As far as we think of what was a great movie by whether or not the acting and the plot are great, but when you take into account things like the actual filmmaking involved in Citizen Kane, it was pretty crazy.
Even the dialogue, the way it's delivered, is phenomenal.
They did things with camera angles and shots that had never been done and have been done 100 times since. They really recreated the way films are made or I say they, Orson Welles himself.
Yep.
And who was like 25 when he made that movie.
And he tried to come back and redo and kind of capture that. And he really never
did over and over again.
He never got it back to where. Kind of when the first thing, when you see it the first time, you're like, wow, this is amazing. Then you see it again, you're like, I've seen this. You know, but anyway.
He was a weird dude.
He was a weird dude.
Really he was also a guest star in Moonlighting. I can't hate that.
He had a great voice, though.
He had the best voice.
You ever heard those clips of Orson Welles reading the commercials where he gets really upset about it? You know, oh, gosh. I don't even know.
Wasn't he the
like
Grinch?
Outtakes.
Wasn't he like the voice
no,
for the
Grinch? No, he wasn't the voice for the Grinch. That's
the
Boris Karloff.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, but Orson Welles, and he did these ads, and it was like, Frosty sweet peas from the feet, and he would get flustered and he would go, how am I supposed to know what peas smell like? This is ridiculous. If you search Orson Welles commercial outtakes on YouTube or something, you'll find them. And they're
I'm
fantastic.
Actually going to check that one out.
Yeah,
a lot of these movies I've never seen, but they're great.
I mean, Shawshank Redemption, I think the total package is maybe the best movie ever.
It's one of the best.
It's up in the top 10.
I remember I didn't want to watch it because it was like, I'm not going to watch some prison movie. I'm not into that.
And the name is pretty
bad.
I was in
El Paso, and I went to JoJo, who was the night guy at the radio station's house one night. And they were all sitting around drinking and all. And JoJo, they had just finished watching it. And I walked in, and he said, man, you got to watch this, bro. You got to watch this. This is the best movie ever. I'm like, man, I don't want to watch that. He goes, just watch like the first 20 minutes. If you don't like it at that point, leave. I was like, okay. Literally, he put it on because he had rented it, because that's back when everybody had VHSs. Put the VHS back on, and he and his girlfriend, they went to bed. And I'm sitting there on the sofa in his apartment by myself watching it. And I stayed up till the very end, till like 2:30 in the morning, just mesmerized at that movie. It was fantastic. I will never forget the first time I saw it.
I remember, same thing. I was in an apartment. Because
when it's done, you're going, say Watanabe. Oh, my God.
I was sitting in this little apartment I used to live in near LSU. And just my roommate had said, I can't believe you haven't seen this movie. And then put the DVD in, and he left to go to work. I'm like, all right, I'll watch this thing. And, I mean, I didn't know it was that good.
I tell you, a movie that a lot of people call in Hollywood call as the best movie ever made is a somewhat modern movie, and that's Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Is
I actually
fantastic.
Was just going to ask you if Back to the Future was on the list.
It's not on the list. Most of the stuff is like All Quiet on the Western Front and Bonnie and Clyde and The French Connection, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Robert Zemeckis was way ahead of his time.
Rain Man.
Rain Man, that's fine. Look, Back to the Future 2 might be the best sequel. It's up there with Empire Strikes Back.
I will go one
Godfather
further.
And Godfather 2. Yeah.
You want to talk those little strange buddy movies? Rain Man, I liked The Scent of a Woman better than Rain Man. Remember that one with...
I never saw it.
With I can't stand
that Pacino
movie.
And he's blind.
All I knew is everybody went, ooh, ah. That's all anybody hears.
Yeah. But it was a good movie.
Okay, I'll take your word.
Yeah.
And he did the Bird Box Challenge before anybody else because he was blind and he drove that Ferrari.
All right, kids, don't do the Bird Box Challenge.
Yes,
drive.
It's bad. Like, it literally, idiots. I see pictures online all the time of sheriff departments around the country going, please stop blindfolding yourself and driving. Still. I mean, we're like month and a half, 2 months past the Bird Box Challenge.
Bird Box Challenge is over.
Right,
people.
And people are still doing it because they're discovering the movie. Yeah. And then they go and they...
Yeah, your time is past.
You're late to the party. Stop doing stupid
You're
going to
do
stuff.
The In My Feelings challenge, too?
We should do
I
one.
I don't even know what that
we
is. I'm so
Kiki,
unhip.
Do you love? We should
do
one
Do you know
right
how old
now.
That is? That's like a year.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know what
and
we're talking about.
And in pop culture,
what are we
that's
about?
Like, that's eons
Everyone
old.
Stop talking. D, do you know what that is?
What is it?
The
again?
In My Feelings challenge.
No,
do you know
no,
what that
no,
is?
I don't know.
Dude, we should do us some Kiki,
yeah, let me guess. Let me guess what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a In My Feelings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In My Feelings challenge.
The In My Feelings challenge is where you... Can you give me a hint? I mean, like, what's involved?
Drake.
It's about a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a Drake song.
But okay. So it's a song, and you're in a bathtub, and and the challenge is you go underwater and then pop up.
No.
Wow, that's totally it. Wow, you're so good.
What is it?
It's just a little dance.
You do a dance.
And it's the song.
That's
in my
the
feelings,
challenge is to do a dance.
And, but people do it in weird places. And then like people started jumping out of cars.
Yes,
I don't know.
And that was the one that kind of took off.
Oh, that's
Will Smith
that
did
one.
It on top of some bridge in Budapest or something like that.
What was
the Kiki song? You know, Kiki,
what
do you
was
love
the one,
me? You know,
like
no,
6 years ago, it was you know, what was the dance thing that started all this? Like 6 years ago. The music
Gangnam Style.
No, the music built up, and it was the Harlem Shake.
Harlem Shake.
Oh, remember the Harlem Shake?
And then Black Beatles?
No idea what you're talking about.
That
is that a thing?
What?
Black Beatles.
You know where everybody would freeze, and the little thing would play, and everybody would just be still as possible?
You mean the Mannequin Challenge?
That was from, but the song was Black
Beatles.
Okay,
but no, it was called the Mannequin Challenge.
I wouldn't know that if you
know,
told me
mean,
that,
really,
and I've heard
Bubba,
the song.
I love you, but that is obscure.
Ray Shrimmer, man. No, you guys don't know your music.
No, because it was the Mannequin Challenge.
Yeah, I remember that. Right. Like the camera goes through the thing, one guy's moving around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We did the Harlem Shake.
I did the Ray Shrimmer.
I did the Harlem Shake while you guys made fun of it, and then we never actually got to the second half of the deal.
I did the
that video
race
still available on our YouTube page.
I did the race Shrimmer thing, the mannequin challenge at Disney, because during the fireworks, everybody stops and they're like this.
Yeah.
And nobody moves.
It wasn't actually the mannequin challenge, but everybody looks like it.
So
everyone's
just
staring
up at the
sky. I
filmed it, and then I put the music to it. I'm like, this is perfect. It was the best one, because you could see like the rides in the background, but the people are just... And you're not going to get that many people to do that at Disney ever.
Mm. Truth.
Okay.
Truth.
Yeah. When's the last time you guys have been to Disney?
Last year. Not even last year.
When
like
did I go?
It's 20... August?
I think I went 2014.
Yeah.
So
we go every year minimum just because we love it.
You do all the rides and all that?
Yeah.
But you gotta,
like I don't watch the fireworks. That's when I go on rides because the lines are nothing. Yeah. I will get on Buzz Lightyear and keep going and go, oh, cool, I'll jet over to Space Mountain because y'all are sitting there with your mouths open watching the castle. Nope. This is why it's good to go to Disney as an adult with no kids because you can pull that.
Well, no, because my kids are now at the ages where they don't care either and they want to go and ride the rides.
Yeah.
And fast pass and do the whole thing. You know, use one, hurry up and get the next one and... It's great. We're actually already planning. We're trying to decide if we're going to do another or host another exchange student. And we're trying to decide, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to go and do Disney with the exchange student? If so, then we need to plan that around Christmas.
That makes you the best host family ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Take him to Disney?
Yeah.
Can you host me?
Yeah, no kidding. I was about to say, like, can't... Like, you never took us to Disney. We've known you for years.
Gosh. I'm taking you in spirit.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have. In my spirit, in my heart, you were there.
Now, I'm letting you know that doesn't count.
So, anyway, we're looking at it. Now, here's the problem with the exchange student right now. They want to – my daughter is picking this time because my oldest daughter picked the first one, and that was where we got the German kid.
It's like they're Koopy dolls or
something. It's like picking puppies.
Picking
I know.
But I want that one.
But here's the thing. I let my kids pick the country they come from and their ages and all that because they're the ones who are going to be the most socially interactive with them because they're their ages. You know, you got a 15-year-old coming from another country. She's going to hang out with your 15-year-old, right? So you might as well let them have that investment in picking the student that's coming over. So we're having an issue with finding and my middle daughter – wants a 15-year-old from Italy because she wants to go to Italy after, you know, she, you know, gets a chance. And so she wants a friend.
Selfish.
Yeah, it is.
I just want to,
It's all right.
But here's the problem.
I'm mad about
it. The kid that's available right now that could come is only a half-year student. And I'm like, well, do we want to put all that investment into something for, you know, 4.5 months?
Wait, how long do they stay at your house?
They stay for almost a year, yeah.
What?
I mean, it's like August to July.
Oh, my gosh. My high school, you got 2 weeks.
Oh, no
Done.
Way.
No,
we
Dominic
get him for a
came
whole
and
year.
Stayed with us for a whole year.
It's
oh
it's
my
ama-
gosh.
It's an amazing thing because literally I have another daughter because of this program. And like when we go to Paris this summer, they're going to come meet us out there and we're going to hang out with all the families and all that. It's going to be cool.
No, it's very nice. That was not what I was used to growing up. I'm like, "Whoa. No. That's a lot. That's a lot."
I'd have thought in Connecticut you guys would have had like all the exchange kids.
We did, but they all came over for 2 weeks and they left.
You know, they wondered how we had like 11 exchange students at my high school, and I always was like, how did 11 exchange students end up
in
New Iberia, Louisiana?
I will tell you why. Because Louisiana has a major connection with the programs because of the French heritage. Mm-hmm. So you get a ton of French or Belgian or Dutch kids come over.
But German, Chinese, Japanese.
What I was going to say is, a
couple of French people, yeah.
They pay extra to go to certain states. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. The families, let's say the kid wants to go to a warmer climate, they pay for that. They pay for Southern California versus, you know.
I recall, Dominic didn't get a choice where he was going. They just went, yeah. Well, yeah, we found you a family. This is where
depending on where it is, they can stipulate, hey, I want to go to Florida. And
they
have to pay. Yeah, they pay extra.
It costs a lot of money for these kids to come stay in America for 1 year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And do you get any of that money?
No, not at all.
Yeah, no.
Oh, really?
No. My whole thing is basically I eat the cost of having another kid for a year.
You know what? We were on Dominic's parents. So Dominic came and lived with – he really didn't come and live with us. He was there with another family, and then his exchange mom got a job in another city and moved. So he needed to find a new host family. He was already here for like 3 months. Or 4 months. So I asked my mom if he could come live with us because we had become friends. So that's how he came to stay with us. We had never signed up for this or anything. But his mom was a school teacher who paid all this money for him to go and do high school for 1 year in America. But years later, his mom came on vacation with him, and we had taken like 2 weeks to go across the U.S. and stuff. And we were sitting there, he and I, having a conversation with some guy in a bar about whatever. The three of us speaking English fast as could be, laughing at each other. And she was just sitting there watching us with this big smile on her face. And then she said something like, you know, all that, it was really a big sacrifice to spend all that money to send my son, my 16-year-old son, to the United States. But look at you guys standing there, and he's keeping up, and he can talk. He can be funny. Mm. It's not just that he can speak English. He can tell jokes. Yeah. You know how hard it is to be funny in another language?
Yep, yep.
It's like hard enough to order tacos for me sometimes. I'll go to the little roadside places where they don't speak English at all, and I'm terrible.
You can't get that school. I took 10 years of Scholastic French, and all I can say is the mouse is under the table.
Dive in. And it's interesting whenever you say that, because when we first, like with Tasia, our German daughter, when we first got her on board and we sent little pictures and videos and things like that saying, hey, can't wait until you get here and all that kind of stuff, she was really scared to death because she couldn't understand. She said we spoke so fast on those videos that she was just petrified actually getting here to the States. And, you know, by the time it was done, she was saying y'all and stuff.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah. Hey, I got a call. And so I promised that I would do this. So I'm going to do it because I promise.
What are you going to do?
I'm calling someone to wish them a happy birthday.
That's nice.
I would say happy birthday to her on the podcast. She is listener number 13.
Oh,
good number.
That's your favorite number?
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
Serious, this is unreal.
It happened. Holy cow.
It's happening. Live on the podcast.
Oh, my. No way.
Yes.
Wait.
So be good. Don't say bad words.
Your mama and Jesus are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just want to.
Y'all are awesome.
Well, you're awesome. And we hope you have a wonderful. I know your birthday's over. It was what? Yesterday before
you? It was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. The 13th.
It's not even your birthday.
Well, did we sing it? Oh, my God.
Well, now we have to sing it all over. Happy belated birthday.
No, we're not doing that.
No, we're just super early.
For next year. For next year. We got you.
Hey, by the way, I was looking
on your
Instagrams, and
who is this, by the way, you didn't say.
Yeah.
And hang on a second, I see all of your crawfish that you had.
Oh yeah.
Back a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
Yep, that was actually my husband.
Henry, is that his name?
That's him.
Yeah,
we call him Hank.
Big H.
Big H. All right, girl. Well, listen, happy birthday to you, and I hope you have an awesome weekend.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, bye.
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 A couple people asking about why do we have a tanuki in the studio?
Why? Because
tanuki.
Is it time for the tanuki? I think it's time to talk about the tanuki.
Haven't we talked about tanuki enough?
Not on the podcast. Mm-hmm. No, we just kind of said, hey, we'll tell you the story.
Carson's like, ugh.
That's cool, man.
He's amazing. That's cool, man. So when we went to Japan for the USO tour, we noticed everywhere that they had these little statues all over it. Restaurants and in like the colonel's office. Actually, offices, both different bases where we got to hang out with the COs. They had these little statues, and we're like, what's the story behind these? And they proceeded to tell us that it's just a traditional Japanese thing that they do, and it's for good luck. So we're like, well, we need one. And we went on a mission to find one, and we ended up finding like a little flea market type deal where we were able to locate a tanuki, and we bought it. And it's awesome. It's like a little raccoon dog. It's like an indigenous Japanese species. But he has little boy parts, or they're big boy parts. They're exposed, and apparently the better the boy parts, the better your luck.
So we have it here. It's actually here just because of the podcast. It lives in the stall of fame.
Our bathroom.
So
it watches you TT and tutu.
I'm told that it's actually good for businesses. That's why you see so many of them.
No kidding.
Much like the cat with the one paw up, like it's tapping on the window or trying to, cats do that thing where they try to get your attention. So that's why they have the cat with the one paw raised.
Oh, yeah.
That's good luck. It's called something.
Yeah, but those are everywhere. Like
those are everywhere.
You see them
those
everywhere.
Are supposed to be good luck for business owners. If you let the cat in, when it's beckoning you, it's good luck. So that's why they put those little beckoning cats. And they have those all over, like Japanese restaurants and stuff in the U.S. Sometimes the arm waves, but in the traditional statue, obviously it doesn't. But the tanuki is the same thing. It's supposed to be good luck for businesses. So you know what? We'll put one.
I can see
guests coming in and wanting to hold him and take pictures with him.
I am trying to decide.
Well, not if he's in the bathroom.
I still see it.
Do you guys go to the bathroom?
Because a lot of people have asked, and I've done it over the course of whenever we bought Tanuki in Japan, and then I've done it a couple times today. I've just kind of rubbed his belly and stuff. But people are saying that I'm doing it wrong. They said you have to rub his balls.
Nope.
And I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't feel right.
And I'm out.
No, I'm just, are you supposed to do that? Or are they trying to trick me?
I think it's a joke they play on people.
I don't know, but.
Hey, why don't you go over there and rub that tanuki's sack?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to look like an idiot.
Too late.
Hey, wide open.
Too late for that.
Oh, well, this has been fun, but there's basketball on it, and I'm going to watch basketball.
Well, tanuki can apparently shapeshift and do magical things with their manhood.
We're heading into basketball season.
So NCAA. Monday we'll have brackets. If you're listening to this over the weekend, you can play along with us. Check social media, at Big D and Bubba for bracket links.
The LSU Florida game is on now, so
and I really want to see the end of this. So,
guys, I mean, this is.
Well, you can keep going, I have to go to my TSA interview.
It
is that time.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me.
It would look like a leprechaun to me, y'all.
I had to get in there a couple more times.
It's my favorite.
It is the best.
Anyway, for those of you who are listening to the podcast and aren't actually staring deep into the eyes and other parts of the tanuki, go and check him out. He is. We have posted pictures on our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And most importantly, rate our podcast.
Five stars,
the best rating
you can
give. Can I say
two things before we go?
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me.
No, okay, well, I'm going to say one thing before we go, and it's, everybody see the leprechaun, say yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you got to do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun, say yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
He looked like a leprechaun to me.
On the radio.
You know, to me.
Like a tanuki to me.
Everybody see the tanuki say.
Yeah! Yeah!